Oh my god, and we are back. Asian cult cinema. My name's Mao, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius. Yeah, because we do all these shows. And, oh yes, I'm from Farts Unknown, by the way. Or did I say Farts Unknown? Or
Ooh, Unknown? I smell it already. It's not unknown.
Yeah, hey, better to smell it. What is it? Smell it,
he who smelled it, dealt it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
yeah, so this is the Asian cult cinema, number 33.
33. That backwards, it's the same number, like the other one.
Like our slow robotic logo.
Or yes. Whatever, I don't know.
Anyway, words.
We digress.
Yes, we do digress often.
Yeah, often.
Early and often.
Early and often.
So yeah. This is this week our Asian cult cinema is the Asianist cultist one ever. Not really.
Well,
it's the heavy hitter, Godzilla.
No, this isn't Godzilla.
Well, Godzilla.
Well, he's in it.
Yeah, Godzilla.
This is the first one where they started to lighten it up a little bit, didn't they?
Slightly.
Slightly.
Because this is the Godzilla versus the three-headed monster, or Ghidra. Ghidra, the three-headed monster.
Yeah.
This is interesting. I know this is one of those weird things. I was thinking about this quite a bit when I was watching it for the show. I was thinking about what to talk about.
This one came right after Mothra.
Right. And, you know, much
or
like...
Or Godzilla versus the Thing, whatever.
Yeah, much like Kung Fu, why we changed Kung Fu Theater to Asian cult cinema, that's although I how much I love Godzilla, how much I love all the movies, they do the same thing to me. I couldn't tell you what monsters called what sometimes. like I know Rodan, and I know yeah. Mothra.
Yeah,
like they get kind of blurry
Ingress
in my head.
And
like
all these, you know, like Ibra, the sea monster.
Yep, and
Mega Godzilla and Megalon and
now there's the very distinct. Like eras of Godzilla. This is still in the first era.
This is 65,
like,
I think.
The suit changes.
All
Godzilla
the time.
Changes. Like there's at least 8 versions.
I think there's a new suit for every movie.
Not everyone. Like because this one was the first 3 or 4 had this where he looks like an old dinosaur kinda, and he doesn't have the fire breath. He just has the
smoke,
the radiation breath kinda.
Yeah.
Like. And that's the thing where I don't sound like I'm a huge Godzilla fan, even though I am, because I don't know these little nitpicky things, but my brain doesn't really work that way.
Hmm.
Like, I don't remember song titles. I don't remember actors' names. I can tell you movies I've seen and when I saw them and all about them, but I just don't work that way. Like, and unfortunately, Godzilla falls into that, where I know I've seen this one.
Sure, you probably saw it on TV.
Oh, time after time.
But it becomes like Godzilla versus the invasion of the Astros or Mothra.
It's a collage of
Godzilla's revenge, even though that one was pretty different, or Destroy All Monsters or whatever.
Because Godzilla changes.
He does.
He's a villain, but then he's not quite a villain. Then he's kind of silly. Then he's funny and loved by all of Japan, but then he's a devil again. And you're like, side note. When Mothra comes over, and Mothra is that worm thing.
Mothra is like the voice of reason in this movie.
He is. Long time ago, when I was a bit more of a consumer, I was looking around on eBay. There was a Japanese radio-controlled...
Mothra?
Like that worm.
Oh, yeah.
Mothra in the larva stage.
Yeah.
And it was an old one from the 60s. It was going for thousands of dollars, and I went, what?
You thought about it, or no?
Hell no, 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 no. And I was like, wait, say what? And that's before I really realized how deep the insanity runs with old Godzilla stuff, old Ultraman, old Astro Boy stuff.
Sure.
You can get into the tens of thousands of dollars
easy.
If you have that poster or that one thing. And
if you can afford it.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, a radio-controlled worm... larva from the first Mothra, and you're like, huh? They probably
It was probably only made in Japan.
It was, but it was probably 200 yen back then, and it was just $20 or something like that. And now it's thousands, and you're like, wow. But
Yeah. I mean, whenever something becomes a cult phenomenon, because Godzilla movies are still being made today.
Godzilla is the cultiest of cult.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, and it's funny because when I watched this movie, and I liked this movie a lot, I just remembered when I was a kid why I thought these movies were kind of dumb. Because it's like they're acting kind of like goofy monsters or whatever, but yeah. I enjoy the whole thing now, as opposed to like being critical of the dopey monsters or whatever.
When I was a kid, I just liked
because
them because
some of them
funny.
Are good. Some of them aren't dopey monsters. Some of them actually look pretty good, you know.
And some of them are very. The storylines are not for kids.
Yeah.
You know, and when I watched these as a kid, they were just what they were, like funny. You know, so they didn't show the very first Godzilla. That wasn't funny. That was a serious... Not a super... It was a pretty serious plot line, serious things.
But that was the only one that was really, really serious.
It was dark, yeah. Then they realized what hit, and then they realized who was watching these movies, and then they became like this one. You know, Godzilla is taking more flops than a freaking European soccer player.
Pretty much.
He's flopping all over the place, and you're like, what are you doing, Godzilla? I tuned in for you, man. Let's start...
I mean, it starts off seriously enough. I guess it's trying to be serious, you know? Yeah. You know, it's kind of like whatchamacallit. What was it at the beginning? There's like a princess, and she's like they're trying to assassinate.
She's coming to Japan so she doesn't get assassinated before she becomes the new heiress to this island realm.
And actually, I think in the very beginning is like a bunch of scientists, and they're seeing some kind of something flying through space or something like that. Yeah.
There was a little bit of cobbling done here.
Yeah, a lot of
and
it,
that
yeah.
was more than usual because they usually weren't like... I'm not saying they were tight, but this one was a little loosey-goosey with that stuff where, like, what am I doing here? What is this now? Like, you know...
Yeah, they're seeing some kind of a spaceship. There's a lot of storylines going around. They're seeing, like, some kind of space something flying through the air or whatever. They don't know what it is. And they cut to the second storyline of the princess that's coming to Japan because she's afraid of getting assassinated.
As told by the security cop who's assigned to her.
And she's on the plane with guys with these weird, like... I don't know what era it was, but like, they look like old knights from like King Arthur with these like weird puffy, like, you know.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, like... I don't even know how to describe what they were wearing. It was like that.
But anyway, they were a royal, you know.
Concubine. I don't know.
Concubines or
no,
whatever.
No, not concubine. But, and they're like, oh. And because then they're like, they show the mustache twirlers back in the palace going, yeah, the bomb's going to go off. See?
Yeah.
And then they go back to the plane and he's like, what would you like? And she's like, oh, just a drink. And he walks out and then this space voice goes, hey, walk off the plane. Get up now. She's like, I will walk off the plane now. And she just steps off the plane while it's flying. Plane goes kaboom. Smash cut. Now she thinks she's a Martian. And
now she shows up on Earth and she's being invited. She's going like, Earth must be like, you know, there's a coming, like, you know, invasion or the end of the world.
She's like those
coming.
End of the world Jesus preachers in like Vegas that have the sandwich board and
they're
all crazy.
And everybody's like, well, looking at her going like, huh, what's this? What is she like? So the first hippie or something like that?
Yeah,
you know? She's like, and then that's going on.
And oh, but side note, because she's very attractive. She was the Bond girl.
That girl
played Princess Whoever, Sandwich, the crazy Martian girl.
That's right. I forgot.
She was
that.
The first Asian Bond girl
from You Only Live Twice,
yep.
right?
You Only
Live Twice. Oh,
and that was God. The one where I also. They showed that really awesome Datsun GT-2000. I was like, oh, I want that car.
Because the other Bond girlfriend was Mia Hama, who was in another Godzilla movie later on
or
whatever. Yeah. So from Bond to Godzilla, hey, why not?
One way or the other. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Money's money.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So she's running around telling everybody the world's going to end. And then the scientists are looking and they're seeing something come into space. And then all of a sudden it's like something lands in like the middle of the woods or whatever. So then
and that fulfills the prophecy because she said smoke will come from the blah, blah, blah mountains. Then the thing lands there and then smoke comes from the thing. They're like, ah, she must be real. Oh, my God. So all right, we're going to take a quick trailer break and when we come back, we'll get into the what's
act,
going on.
Act two
of three-headed. Where's the three-headed monster?
Act
we don't even
two,
know.
Act two, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Wow.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
Hey, weirdos. Bring a fiend to a night of terror. But wait until the dead of night. And from behind the tombstone, maybe you will see...
The man and monster.
And he is usually with...
The bloody vampire.
It's time for terror. If you see this, you will see an unspeakable horror that terrorizes the universe. You and your fiend can make it a foursome when you meet
the man and monster and the bloody vampire.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It looks like Godzilla, but due to international copyright laws, it's not.
Dude, we should run like it is, Godzilla!
Though it isn't.
Okay, now, the second act kind of starts out with Godzilla and Rodan just fighting.
Remember? Yeah, well, like, they introduced the two little Mothra girls, the peanuts.
Oh, that's right, that's right. They show up and they're like, oh, you're a Martian and we know your brain and...
Yeah, and then they introduce Mothra into it because Mothra's on his island or whatever, well, and he's friends of all everybody.
Yeah.
And they're psychic, and they go, we got a feeling that Godzilla and Rodan are going to start showing up again. So, you know.
Because they're on some TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so weird.
They're doing their act on the TV show, and they're talking about how they're psychic, and they know the girls are Martian, and they know Godzilla and Rodan are going to show up again. And they cut to Mothra there, whatever. So it's like, oh, okay, well,
exposition train. Thanks, you know.
Yeah, and then you get another storyline where there's the bad guys are still trying to kill the Martian princess, a princess of Mars or whatever.
This is so weird. This paper shows up. Oh, this Martian girl knows the future, and the police guy goes, "That's the princess I was supposed to save." Then, in another country. This guy is reading the Japanese newspaper and says, hey, you bad guys, this is the princess. And they're like...
Yeah, I know I know it's the princess.
A Japanese newspaper in some other country, and the guy's reading it, and like, oh, yeah. It was like, okay, that's a little bit convenient. And then they send a band of scoundrels to go kill her.
Yeah.
Or to verify first, because she's supposed to be wearing this bracelet. Well, then the cops find a fisherman who was pawning this bracelet... And he's like, hey, some girl shows up naked. She offers to buy my clothing and gives me this thing, so I just dropped her off.
Yeah.
And that's who your Martian is. And you're like, okay. So then they smash cut to Godzilla and Rodan fighting.
And then while all this is going on, let's not forget that there's the mountain guys are still there looking at the big egg that's what Ghidra is going to become. And it's like kind of, at first it becomes like, kind of it's magnetic or whatever.
So
it's like they're looking at this thing and they go, wow, this thing's getting something, this rock that hit, we don't know what it is, a meteor or whatever. So they end up going, I think they end up going back to tell everybody about
they
it.
They like go back and forth like four times. You're like, what are you doing here? What are you doing?
So then Godzilla and Rodan pop up and they start like refighting again, you know, because they're pissed off from the last fight.
And you know what? This is the one thing that was really bothersome. Godzilla doesn't do good fighting this time.
Nah, he's a little clunky.
And Godzilla,
Rodan's
for the most
picking him
part,
up and dropping him, and you know.
That one part where Rodan's carrying him like a helicopter just drops him. You're like, well, that's odd.
Yeah.
And like, but usually Godzilla is a bit more menacing and the kind of like the.
He was more of like goofy.
He was goofy and docile and like getting whipped and you're like, wait, what am I watching here? I signed up for a Godzilla movie, not some
and
dumb
Rodan
bird
was
guy.
Like kind of like some jerky angry bird or whatever. Yeah,
he's pecking him on the head and Godzilla's
he's
like,
pecking him on the head.
I
like, stop that.
I think Godzilla actually went rawr, 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 and did like a curly. I swear it. I was like, okay. And he's doing the soccer flops. Like, he's like, oh, I get knocked over.
Yeah, this
oh.
is the first one where he really started getting, like, you know, goofy.
Because I think after this one is when the revenge, when the son, And he started doing that little weird.
No, no, the one after this one was the one with more aliens come to space.
Astro Monster?
Yeah, the one with Nick Adams or whatever, yeah. So anyway, so these they're going at it, and then like all of a sudden the rock, you know, breaks open and like Ghidra pops out of it. And it's kind of cool the way he comes out. It's like a phoenix or something like that. So now you got...
Because it's animated.
Yeah, at the beginning it's animated. Yeah, so Ghidra pops up and he starts doing all the destruction or whatever.
Oh, you forgot before that though. The Martian lady's at the edge of the crater going, "Don't go in there."
Oh yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's gonna be bad really soon. I know. I see the future.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah,
some
yeah.
dude's hat blows in there. That's my lucky hat. And some guy's like, "I'll go get it for 20 yet." And he's like, "Or 200 yet." And he's like, "Okay, I'll pay that." Then he dies. You know. there was a lot of. This movie, I don't want to say more than any, but this one had quite a bit of it, where there was just this meaningless stuff. Like, they didn't have enough, they had too much movie, but not enough movie. Like, there was too many plot lines, but not enough scene.
Yeah,
because like,
Ghidra doesn't really do anything. They basically allude to the fact that Ghidra had destroyed Mars. Like, he had Mars with that.
Kinda.
That, you know, the princess goes, Ghidra was originally on our planet of Mars, and he destroyed our civilization. Now he's coming to Earth to do the same thing to you or whatever.
Yeah.
So you got Ghidra going, now you got Ghidra going around destroying everything with, I mean, Ghidra's a cool looking monster.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong. He's got his rays destroying everything. You got Godzilla and Rodan fighting over there, and then... They're going like, well, can't we get Godzilla and Rodan to help? You know, yeah. And they're going like, no, they don't like human beings. You know?
Well, no, what happened? Well, she said Mothra can't defeat him, and Rodan, no, she said no one can defeat Ghidra by themselves, like the Martian lady
says.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So she talks to the little peanuts and goes.
And she tries to get into Mothra.
Go tell Mothra to come. And they're like, okay.
And convince them to do
and
it.
And she's like, Mothra, Mothra. They do this weird, like, singing thing that gets the larva. Now,
they did that in the original Mothra.
But Mothra, he stayed a larva in this one.
Yeah, he doesn't turn into a moth in this one.
And I was like, okay, well then.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever. Just whatever. There's a lot of, like, whatevers in this movie, you know. And that's kind of, I don't want to say it's a weak one, because I did like the fighting, I did like the monsters and stuff.
No, the effects and the miniatures are beautiful.
Well, the miniatures, I don't know why they get it so right and everyone else gets it so wrong. They get it so right.
Yeah.
Half the time, you know it's a model, you know it's a miniature, but boy, they look good.
Yeah,
and
they
the frame rates are perfect, and the lighting is spot on. Like, it that is unbelievable to me. Like, even in these cheesy, even the cheesiest ones, the model work and the destruction.
Well, the director, Honda, you know, he was a really good director.
He's great.
He knew how to take all the elements and make them look really good. Where a lesser director might make them look a lot cheesier.
Or just not oversee it and they would just be cheeseball.
Yeah. So Mothra is called in to calm Godzilla and Rodan down.
Yeah, he's kind of... They bring him in and say, look, you got to unite them. That's the only way you can beat Godzilla... Or beat Ghidra. And... The peanuts are sitting there because they're like, we can't understand monster talk. And she goes, oh, we can translate. So Mothra sprays him in the face with his crap.
With his
cocoon making web.
Or whatever.
And then he's like, you have to help fight. And Godzilla basically says, I don't care about Earth. They treat me like they hate me, so I hate them right back.
Exactly, yeah.
And I was like, very poignant and very true.
Very true,
And then Rodan's like, well, I hate you and I hate everyone. And then I was like, no wonder I love this guy, because Peanut goes, oh, Godzilla, such language. I was like, I knew I liked this guy. He trashes everything and he curses all the time. No wonder he's my hero.
Yeah.
Then they don't ever agree to help each other.
But then when they fight, what happens is they don't agree, and then Mothra goes, okay, fine, I'll do it myself. I'll fight him myself.
Yeah, be jerks.
So Mothra goes and walks up and he crawls up to Ghidra and he starts spraying him with the larvae, and like Ghidra just kicks Mothra's butt or whatever.
He like literally kicks him around.
He keeps zapping him, and Mothra keeps flying up in the air.
I was like, wow. All right, because we're going to get into the main fight, and also that there's that part where the bad guys come, and then there's the part where they put her in a trance. So, okay, we're gonna take a quick break, then we're going to come back to wrap up. Godzilla versus Ghidra.
It's just Ghidra.
Just Ghidra.
Ghidra, three-headed monster. All right. Ghidra.
All right. We'll be right back.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a hat, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
From Franti and Teicher's new album that was called Freedom. And now we hear from Carole King and Jazzman. Make me warm. Nice song, huh? Tim Moore in Second Avenue. Say, how about something good to eat? Something like tender, savory hot dogs bursting with flavor. We have them at the snack bar, you know, served up on fresh, warm buns. Or help yourself to popcorn. Freshly popped, light and crisp. And be sure to get plenty for all the gang in your car, or they'll just send you back for seconds. And when you get to the thirst-quenching department, we have your favorite refreshment, jumbo-sized cups of ice-cold Coke. For the taste of your life, enjoy Coca-Cola here and now. America's number one soft drink. It's the real thing. Coke. That was Mac Davis. You gotta stop and smell the roses.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now, Mac Davis wasn't an Illinois Nazi. He was a good old country boy.
He was just a regular Nazi.
No, he was a country boy. You know, what's funny is, like, I was telling you, this movie, Ghidra, when it came out in the theaters, it was played on a double feature with Elvis Presley's Harum Scarum.
Can you imagine that?
I got to ask my friend about this, because he told my friend Hilger, because he saw Harum Scarum when he was a kid, and I'm wondering if he's on a double feature with Ghidra.
See, that's wild. See, I want to kind of get deeper into the Elvis library, because I know there's some real hidden gems in there, but I know there's a lot of just singing around, and I don't know which ones, like Kid Creole, I'd like to see. That's, and there's a couple, and there's a few that I think are gonna be real gems, but there's a lot.
Oh, Las Vegas.
There's a lot that are just gonna be kind of
with Anne Margaret.
Yeah, but whatever. So that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about Asian cult cinema, baby.
And Ghidra, the three-headed monster.
Three-headed monster. So now, Mothra is literally getting its butt kicked, even though it doesn't have a butt, but it's getting kicked. And then Godzilla's like, hey, you don't do that to the guy I'm going to beat up. So he walks over and just starts, like, he starts, like, kind of hitting him. And then that's where he gets flopped again. Like, Godzilla falls down. Then Rodan's like, hey, don't beat up the guy I'm going to kill. So then Rodan comes in, and he's doing the best of any of them.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of, we also go back to where now, the doctor is putting the Martian girl under a trance, because there was also this plot, we skipped over it, where she's friends with the reporter, and the reporter has the scoop, and she's going with this lady's with the, but who cares?
Yeah.
So now she's with the cop, and they're going to they're putting her into a deep trance to see who is this lady. Is she really this? And she says she's a Martian, and she says they've been there for hundreds of years. But over the years, they died off, and there's just a few of them left, and like consciousness stuff. So she has the Mars consciousness, and she thinks she's Martian. Well, now they're running. Now, while this is happening, like, then the bad guys try to come in and kill her.
And they get hit by, like, one of the Ghidra's... Ghidra's, like, hits a mountain, and the mountain debris hits their car. And it knocks them out. I mean, it kills a couple of them, but the main guy
with a sniper rifle is still alive.
He's still alive, so we got his storyline still keeps going.
All this stuff is happening while monsters are fighting in the area. Like,
yeah.
That's kind of like fighting through a hurricane or lava.
Yeah.
There's monsters fighting each other while you're trying to kill someone. Wouldn't you postpone it and be like, I'll kill her when there's, like, less monster in
there.
I don't know.
Let me go save my butt, and then when it's done, maybe I'll, like, not kill her.
That's not how this guy thinks. So
no,
their car gets crushed with stuff, and they're still fighting. And the fighting is intercut, I think, to keep things rolling. Because then at one point, Mothra grabs hold of the tail. No, that's before. Now Mothra's spraying him in the face, the Ghidra.
Yeah.
And Godzilla comes running up and does that three-headed grab thing. And then Rodan starts pecking their heads, and then, like, Godzilla grabs him by the tail, and Mothra keeps spraying him and spraying him and spraying him. Now we flash over again to the princess. Martian princess falls down the mountain.
Yeah, she was originally in that one room with the gown on, they were doing the thing, but she got out of there, and she got dressed, and she's, like, trying to run away, or how'd she end up in the mountain?
Well, because the rocks smashed the thing they were in, and they could only escape through this mountain pass.
Oh, yeah.
So then the mountain pass, she falls off that, the guy goes down to save her, the guy with the sniper rifle, Snidely Whiplash with the sniper rifle, starts shooting at her.
And he's a cop. Yeah, he's going to start shooting.
No, the bad guys. The cops with the princess, the Martian princess. So the bullet hits her head, skims it, and she falls down, and the cop's shooting away at the bad guy. And then she wakes up, and she's like, what am I doing here? And she's like, wait, are you Martian, or are you just regular? She's like, I'm regular. Who are you? And she's like, okay, I got a long story, but let's get out of here first. So he gets shot in the arm, and then the mountain falls on this guy and kills him.
Another Ghidra hit.
Ghidra is laying waste to the bad guys.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So she finishes that guy off.
So now they crawl up, and he's like, oh, let me save you. You know, you're the princess, and we just want to save you.
And then the monsters keep fighting. You find finally that Godzilla keeps throwing boulders at Ghidra, and Ghidra says, okay, I give.
Godzilla just whips rocks. He does that to Rodan in the beginning. Rodan's sitting there looking away, and he's just hitting him in the head with rocks from behind. He's that guy. He's like, yeah, take that.
When did Rodan get so tough? Yeah,
because Rodan had spikes on his stomach, too, which I don't remember that.
Yeah, no. He just destroyed buildings in the first one with his flying or whatever. Go figure.
Yeah.
They gave him all these extra superpowers.
Now, Ghidra shows up in that duel in space, doesn't he?
He shows up in Invasion of the Astros.
Invasion of the Astros. And then also in Destroy All Monsters.
Destroy All Monsters,
well, then
too,
obviously,
yeah.
like almost everyone's in that one, isn't there?
Yeah, everybody's in Destroy All Monsters, right. Including new guys, you know.
Yeah, other monsters
or whatever. That's all monsters,
we had to do that one. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
So now, Ghidra's gone but not dead.
Yeah, he takes off I give.
He just flies away. And then well, see ya. I'm going to go, that happens quite often in these. They don't want to kill off this monster. They built the suit.
Yeah.
He's not dead. Hang it up somewhere. He'll come back at some other time. It's like a wrestler. You put him on the shelf a little while. And when you forget about him, surprise Ghidra. You're like, oh my God, Ghidra's coming out of the stands.
Yeah.
Who would have thought it, And it's just that whole thing. And then the girls are like, oh, thank you, Mothra. Let's go back to our hometown. And then they get on his back and he floats away. Really an odd wrap-up.
Yeah, and then the princess is the end, she's like, was I really Martian? What was I doing?
And he's like, you said you loved me and you should marry me. That's what he said. Are we going to get married? No, he didn't say that. She's like, oh, well, I owe you my life, and,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Everything's going to be fine now, and I'm happy. Now I'm back to the princess. And all the bad guys are dead that wanted to kill me, so.
Bad guys are dead. Monsters just kind of go, well, see you next fight.
Yeah.
I'll just go in there.
Go back into hibernation for a year, and then we'll come back for the next movie.
So weird. The ending was meh. They just said, meh, and they just wrote.
Yeah, we're done.
I think on the last four pages, they just wrote, Hollywood happy ending. And they just said, go, and they put the camera. And they just, I was just kidding. I love you. Let's get married. The end of that one. Oh, see you later, Rodan. We're best friends now. That's the end of that one. You just wrote Hollywood happy ending and put a stamp on it.
It's
Toho.
It's about as logical ending as it should be, considering all that's happened.
Good
it's
point.
Logical.
Yeah.
It makes sense within the realm of this strange world of
now. I loved
monsters.
It because I.
Yeah, it's fun.
I thought it was funny and stupid and silly. Is this one messier than most, or am I imagining that?
I don't know if it's messier than most, but I think it was the first one that got a little too messy, because before it was Mothra and Godzilla. This one's destroyed
it was almost,
too many monsters.
It was almost very scripted. It was wrestling. Godzilla comes out, bad guy comes out, bad guy wins, kinda. Things, they go to their corners. Then they come out, Godzilla figures out a way to win, everyone's happy.
I think Invasion of the Astros was better.
Yeah.
But Ghidra is a cool monster, though.
Oh, yeah.
So you get this, giant three-headed, flying, whatever it was.
Really done
bird
well. The very often,
dragon,
multiple
whatever.
Head dragon
yeah,
things
yeah, yeah.
are kind of floppy and flaily. This one was really well done. I mean, there was some...
There was
flop,
a little bit of a
but
flop,
not much.
But
most of it was pretty tight, where the heads all were doing what they were supposed to do, and lightning was crisp when it was put in, when the effect was put in.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So
yeah.
I had fun with it. But it was one of those where you're like, wow, this
it
is
was,
a little bit.
It was a let's throw everything in the pot.
This
and
is
see
like
what
a Batman and
out.
Robin movie where too much.
It was the first one that dared to be a little sillier than the others, and it is what it is, you know.
It started that trend because that trend got crazy silly. Some of those are downright absurd, you know. I mean, and I realize I'm talking about a big monster.
You're talking
thing,
about,
but I mean, like they are crazy funny like goofball movies, yeah. You know. And it wasn't that, but they realized kids were watching on Saturday mornings.
And Godzilla became like a, you know, before it was just like, you know, oh, well, we got an idea to do like a giant monster. And then it became like, okay, so now that Godzilla's a bad guy, what are we going to do now? I got an idea. Let's make him the good guy. Or let's make him like not the guy that wants to destroy the world. We'll get another guy that wants to destroy the world.
Now he's protector. Now he's friend all children.
He basically, you know, from this point on, I think he became a protector.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He did... They transitioned him to a good guy, which I liked that quite a bit, because it was like, it wasn't all about let's destroy Godzilla. Now it's kind of, we're all on his side and go get him, Godzilla.
Go fight the other monster.
Yeah, and he did, and he always won because he was Godzilla. He's the king.
Yeah.
Then they transitioned back. Now, the new ones now, he is the menacing death machine that can't be stopped. Mother Nature, nuclear power, whatever you want to say about it, that's what could be attached to it. It's just that unstoppable thing that might kill us all.
I know the whatever reason for it, because of like atomic power or whatever. But what's your theory about why Japan was so obsessed with this total destruction like they were with all these movies? Was it because of the bomb, or was it just because they like to blow things up? Or
no,
you know?
This is highly speculative. I can't say. Of course, the original analogy was from the nuclear bomb.
The first one was a lot more somber
than all the
other ones.
That was reflective of the true feeling. That was a big deal. We were the perpetrators of that big deal, so... And it's a little bit difficult.
Yeah, but
you know.
We were pushed into it.
No. I'm not placing blame.
Yeah,
I am just
blame.
Saying
yeah,
we
yeah.
did it. You know, yeah. and they suffered the wrath.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't blameless, but that's the way it was. I think that's just like the easiest way to make it like, to induce panic, kind of. I don't even think now, I don't really think the newer ones or those silly ones were even making any kind of analogy to anything. It was just... an imminent threat.
Yeah.
Something's going to blow up everything. And it's easy to just blow up all of Japan. When you've seen it in five movies, the sixth and seventh one, who even cares? Of course he's going to blow up all of Japan, you know.
Yeah. And this really was just like, you know, an outer space movie.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, you know, nuclear threat from like, you know, within or whatever. So they just got more sci-fi as the...
And Japan loves... they love showing crowds of people running.
Yeah. Oh, God, dude.
They love showing little kids in little shorts running. And then they love to see just panicky people running. Every movie has panicky Japanese people running.
And that dun 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 music, that marching music.
I love
whatever.
It. So, yeah. You know, overall, if you're a Godzilla purist, of course you got to see this. Although there was a Godzilla 2-day Christmas marathon in El Rey, and I didn't watch them.
I watched a little bit of it. They played this.
I didn't watch much, and I was like, oh, I should have. I don't know. It's one of those things I regret, but I have all of them, so what do I care?
Yeah.
So overall, I'd say, of course, go see it.
Yeah.
Don't expect it to be...
It's not the best.
The best, but it's not even close
but
to worse.
But it's well done.
Yep, there you have it. All right, that's this week's Asian Cult Cinema. I think next week we're going to delve into something quite different.
Yeah. More. We're going to get another dub movie, but a different kind of dub.
Different kind of dub. All right, that's it for this week. My name's Mal. With me, as always...
Dr. Morbius.
And this has been Asian Cult Cinema on Radio St. Pete. See you next week, everyone.